To start off with a video, so if someone could get the lights in the back.
Have you ever wondered what we might see if we could pull back the curtain of time to that very first Christmas? If we could, I imagine the story began in heaven something like this. God was looking over heaven's balcony one day, shaking his head at all the wrong things people were doing down on Earth.
Oh man, this isn't quite what I had in mind when I created Earth. I feel so far away from my kids down there.
Why?
It's just hard to be friends with people when you don't like what they're doing. I think it's time.
Time for what, Lord?
Time for us to step in.
Shall I ready the army, Lord?
No, I don't think we should send an army. We need one person.
One person?
Brilliant, they won't be expecting that.
Lord, if we're just sending one person, he'll have to be very strong and very powerful, because there's tons of people down there.
No, he won't have to be strong. He'll go as a newborn baby.
A newborn baby?
Brilliant, they won't be expecting that.
Lord, this plan is rather risky. A newborn human baby is small and weak. This baby must be born to people who will protect him. Maybe a great ruler or a mighty king.
Actually, I was thinking I could send him to a peasant girl whose heart is beautiful and full of courage.
A peasant girl?
Brilliant, they won't be expecting that.
My lord, I see your plan is to take Earth by surprise. No one will be expecting a newborn baby, born to a humble villager. But what good can a baby do?
This will not just be any baby. I'm sending in the Prince of Heaven in disguise.
The Prince of Heaven? Our Prince? Your son?
Brilliant, they won't be expecting that.
Lord, this is too risky. Sending the Prince of Heaven in disguise as a tiny baby, born not to kings but to humble villagers, surely he should not be born in a cottage. He should be born in a palace.
You're right. He shouldn't be born in a cottage.
Phew!
He'll be born in a stable.
A stable? Surrounded by animals?
Filled with hay?
Filled with manure?
Brilliant, they won't be expecting that.
Lord, how will they know if he's there? What if they don't notice?
Those who are looking will find him, and his mission will be to bring all people closer to me, even if they do something really wrong. When the prince is done, nothing will get in between them and my love.
Can we leave some clues for the people looking, like in the stars?
Clues in the stars? Sure, why not? We can make one huge one that points to him.
Can we sing for him?
Yes, can we sing?
Sing to welcome him.
Please say we can sing.
God looked at the hopeful faces, and his heart was touched by their love for the prince.
All right, you can sing.
Yay!
But not in front of the whole world. That would just be weird. And no kings or rulers.
How about we sing for some shepherds? That's the only job. Those guys could do some cheering up.
Brilliant. They won't be expecting that.
Anyway, that's how I imagined it. And you know the rest of the story.
All right. I am, yes, yeah. So that might be an idea for a future Christmas play for the kids, but couldn't pull it together today. So this Advent season, if we could get the lights, I'd appreciate that. This Advent season, we've been talking through various different aspects of Advent, and today we're going to be talking about preparation. And you know, Advent season is the season of the unexpected. And you might be saying, what is that? The season of waiting. the season of preparation, the season of anticipation. There may be fear. Will he come as expected? Will he come as promised? Are we, as we center in on this theme of preparation, I would like for us to go home with this thought. There, all right. Be prepared for the unexpected. Be prepared for the unexpected. In unpacking this theme, we're going to be talking about three unexpected things. There's lots of unexpected aspects of the Christmas story, but we're going to be talking first about the unexpected arrival, unexpected guests, and finally, unexpected gifts. So if you're taking notes on the back of your bulletin, that might help you to have a little structure there. So first, we're going to be talking about prepare for the unexpected arrival. And if you would turn with me to Luke 2, 1 through 7, we'll be jumping around to various places in the Christmas story today. Have you ever had somebody show up unexpectedly? Has anyone? It was interesting. When we were over in Central Asia, people would actually have a guest room. It was usually separate from the house that was always ready, because you never knew when guests would show up. Now, it doesn't happen so much here. I don't know how often you have people just stop by for dinner, but it's not that often. But over there, it happened with regularity. So you would actually want to prepare extra. And if no one came, you'd have some great leftovers. But if guests came and you weren't ready, you know, you were cooked. Your goose was cooked, in a sense. And so you had to be ready for the unexpected. I had another time where this happened with my family. My parents had saved up, and they had arranged for us all to go to Florida, and they had found this house that we were all going to stay in. And unfortunately, that year, my brother got called into deployment after they made all the arrangements. And so he was with the Army over in Iraq, and we knew that he was not going to be there for our time at Disney and everything, and we were a bit bummed about that because we wanted to all be together. And I remember his wife came with their little kids. And so we all arrived, and the house we got, we were all, the wife called us down to the main room just for a family meeting. And suddenly behind her from the garage, the door opens, and there's my brother John, who we all thought was in Iraq. And he comes walking through, and we're all like, you know, maybe you've seen the stories at Christmas where someone comes from deployment, they don't tell anybody, and they maybe go to the school and surprise the kid. And it was that sort of thing. I was worried my mom was going to have a heart attack, but thankfully she didn't, so she's still with us. But it was completely unexpected. I hadn't had something like that personally happen to me to that degree. So it was. I don't know if you've had that happen, but it is so wild when something totally from out of the blue happens like that. It catches you off guard. And so the first coming of Christ was this way. He was unexpected. People were not ready for him. We see many missed that he came, right? They weren't expecting him to come in the way he came. And the arrival was different. Like, I'm going to go here, this little map now. It's a bit washed out, but we see there was an unexpected journey. They had to travel, Mary and Joseph. Now imagine this. She knows she has a baby, and they are called now to do a census. You cannot bow out from these censuses. I don't know how you say that, but you have to go. And this is the journey that they most likely took from Nazareth down to Bethlehem. I don't know if any of you have had to travel when you were 8 months pregnant, 9 months pregnant. I haven't personally, but I traveled with my wife when she was like that, and it is not a fun thing to travel. We had to do a 30-some hour trip from Uzbekistan back to America, and I remember there were times she just would put a cloth over her head and just cry on the plane because it was so, you know, you're in these tight seats, people going back into you, and you have that big belly. Oh, it was not fun. And you think, well, yeah, that's hard traveling. Imagine on a donkey sleeping on the ground. There's no Hampton Inn. You know, this is a tough journey. And so this was an unexpected trip. And so then we also see an unexpected place, right? Now we often think of the manger. We think of this nice little creche scene and all that. But actually, this is how the houses were made in that time. They usually had two floors. Maybe one was down underground or in the side of a hill. And the first floor was kind of where you did your daily stuff. And at night, they would bring the animals in there, the valuable animals. And that's where they keep them so they wouldn't be stolen. And most of the people would sleep then on the second floor. So what obviously had happened was Mary and Joseph probably had relatives there since they're getting their census, or some distant cousin possibly, and had made arrangements. And by the time they got there, everyone else was there as well, and there was no room for them. And now also imagine with me, Mary's pregnant. She's not yet married to Joseph. This is not a good thing in the family, is it? They probably did not believe her story, I imagine. And so they probably did not get the most preferential place of the family. You know, they probably thought, you guys stay down there. So they're dealing with an unexpected place of giving birth. Now, I think those of you that have given birth, this would not be a fun thing to do, is give birth in a stable, I imagine. So Advent marks anticipation about the first and the second arrivals of Jesus. His first arrival, there were so many unexpecteds. But we also, during Advent, we talk about Christ's second coming. And there's many things about that are unanticipated, right? We see in Matthew chapter 25 that it talks about Jesus has all these different parables about his return and telling us to what? Be what? Ready. Be ready. Be prepared. Be prepared because he is going to come like a thief. He's going to come in ways we don't expect. So my question to us is, you know, we are aware of the first coming, but the second coming has yet to come. And I would like to ask you during this Advent season, when was the last time you or I thought about the second coming of the Lord? Has it been a while for you? Well, it's my job today to remind you. Is that affecting that arrival, his impending arrival, affecting how you and I are going to live this week? And the Bible says it should affect us. We should be ready. And you might say, well, what do you want me to go out and live on a hillside waiting for him? What are you expecting? Well, he says, be ready for him. Let his return inform how you and I live. I like to think of it this way. Like, anybody here a teacher? Okay. When the teacher is gone from the classroom, what do the students often do? Gets a little wild, crazy. Now, if they hear your steps coming down the hall, what dramatically happens right during that moment, Angel? Shh. They behave as if the teacher's there. So the coming of the master affecting how we live our life, not living as if he's not here, the teacher's gone, so let's party. No, he's coming back. Let's live as if he is already here. Let's live as he is, if he is returning. In impending that he is coming back, it's going to affect how I live, and not forgetting that he's coming. So the second aspect here is be prepared for unexpected guests. We're back in Luke 2 here, and we see Luke 2, 15 through 20. It talks about the shepherds. I'm going to read that for us. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. This is a little aside. The way that's said, it sounds like they're all sitting in the manger. I remember Travis was memorizing that for the program, and he's like, "Are Mary and Joseph and the baby all lying in the manger together?" I'm like, "No, that's not what it's saying." But all right, so squirrel thought there. Okay, let's see, where was I? Laying in a manger. Okay, there we go. 13. And suddenly there was an angel in a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And when they went with haste, and they found Mary, Joseph, and baby lying in a manger. Okay, I'm back to there. Okay. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. So you have these guys, and we often, you know, I like this picture. I was looking through various artworks of this. What's ironic, though, is they always paint, you know, if it's from Europe, they paint them to look like Europeans. That's probably not how they looked. But I love how the shepherds look here, though, in this picture. These are rough guys. These are, you know, the blue collar, they're probably the guys that work in the factory, get their hands dirty, they're calloused hands, they're rough, they may not speak really nice words all the time, okay? These are rough and tumble guys. And look at them around that baby. It's just neat to see their faces. And that gives me a picture of what might have happened that night. So these unexpected guests to the house. And what are some other unexpected guests? We see in the Christmas story, the unexpected wise men, right? And this one, it's a little dark. I think we're going to get an HDMI fixer of this eventually. But, you know, it looked good on my computer when I had it. But I like this picture. Just, you see, of wide variety. So let's turn to Matthew. That's the story of the wise men. I'm not going to read too much there, but we're going to look at verse 11 of chapter 2 in Matthew. And there's a much larger story of the wise men, but when they finally got to the house, they'd been following this star, and as they were going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So we don't have a whole lot of details about who these guests were, but one thing I find interesting, you may say, well, the King of Kings, yeah, there's King coming to him. Isn't this like an expected thing? But they had not received an invitation. You know, this was not the local king. This was people from very far away, left a long time ago with, quote, no invitation, and now they suddenly show up. The invitation, I guess, was in the stars, but not a real clear invitation, let's put it that way. We were praying before church, and I remember one of the individuals talked about how the angels told the shepherds, go find the baby. They didn't really tell him where he was. They didn't tell the wise men really. Wise men didn't really know where he was. They had to seek him out. There were some signs along the way, but they had to seek him out. And so they were unexpected guests as well. So Jesus also, with regard to the second coming, he exhorts us, if you look at Matthew 25, that's a great passage. But in one of those parables, he talks about guests for us. And you might say, well, what are the unexpected guests for us? He says in that parable, the sheep and the goats, he said, whoever you visited in prison, whoever you gave food, whoever you did things for, the least of these you did as unto who? Me. So he's in a sense giving us another unexpected guest. Those that come into your life at inconvenient times, at difficult points, that are in need, treat them as the unexpected guest. Treat them as you would me. So that's a question for us to ask here during this Advent. Am I prepared to bless others? Am I prepared for that unexpected guest? Now we move last here to be prepared for the unexpected gifts. And in Matthew 2:11, which I read earlier, what were the gifts the wise men brought? So here's a nice little reminder cheat sheet. Frankincense, myrrh, and gold. You know, I always had, when I was a kid, I don't know if any of you young ones, you think frankincense. I used to think Frankenstein, but it's frankincense. Does anybody know what frankincense is? It's tree sap, yeah. It's a special tree down in South Arabia. And actually, myrrh is also tree sap, but they had different uses. Frankincense was part of the perfume they would do with the anointing sacrifice in the temple. It was one of the ingredients of that. And so these gifts, these unexpected gifts to Christ, they indicate not only who he is, but what he's going to do in a foreshadowing type of way. He's going to be that sacrifice for our sins. He's going to be offered up. And then we see the gold. What does the gold symbolize? Royalty. Royalty, yeah. Kings receive gifts of gold. And he's going to be the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And then myrrh is also from a sap of a tree. It was interesting to read about that. I thought of Steve McKee. I was reading. I was like, I should put this picture of this plant up there. You know, I'm sure Steve might actually research this at one point, so I hope I get it right. But it's a real thorny plant. But the myrrh is often used in preservation. It's like used in burial, sometimes associated with that. So some have suggested that this represents him dying for our sins and rising from the dead down the road. So there's some foreshadowing. You may disagree with quite, you know, these. It's a bit of interpretation there, I would say. But the gifts represent possibly what he's going to do. But secondly, the most unexpected gift about Christmas is, I like to say it's kind of play on words here, his presence rather than his presence. I had to write it because you'd be like, what, wait? So the real unexpected gift of Christmas is not what he came to give, but he gave himself. He came. He is the gift. He is the present rather than the presence. And often, what can we fall into, right? We can often worship the gifts rather than the giver. We get focused on the gifts instead of the giver. And so one thing during this Advent in preparation is to say, you know, am I getting back to that heart of worship? I love that song by Matt Redman. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about what? Who? Jesus, right? It's all about you. I'm sorry for the thing that I made it, the thing. I made it a thing. And I'm coming back to that you are the present, and I was worshiping the presence. So it's a good reminder to us all. And in closing, I want us to, we're going to watch this, I believe one church put this out in the West Coast, but I like this particular video of the Christmas story. It's set in a modern time, so bear with it. You know, it's set in the modern, but it helps us remind what is the unexpected nature of this? And I thought it was helpful for bringing that to light. So prayerfully watch this and contemplate what we've talked about today and the preparation. And then we are going to go after that to our circle churches. And Judea will come up and tell us at that point what is next. So if Janet, if you could get those lights real quick for us.
Merry Christmas.
What's the point?
It all started with a girl. She found out she was going to have a baby. A very special baby.
Mary.
Yes?
You've been chosen. You'll have a child. Very special child.
I don't understand.
In time you will.
Was she scared?
Scared and excited. But she's supposed to marry a boy. She told him the news.
But he didn't understand.
Joseph. You will take Mary to be your wife. In time you will understand.
Then the boy had a dream that changed everything. And he knew what he had to do. Time passed, and no one else understood.
What happened to them?
They had a long way to go. When they needed help, most wouldn't. one did. And there they were. Alone. Give to you. That's the point.
If there's anyone here today that's never met Jesus, I pray today that we would come to the babe in the manger, that we recognize He is also the Son of God who came and died for us in our place to be our Lord and Savior. And so, Lord, we pray during this season that You would open our eyes to You in a new and fresh way. If we've never encountered You, this might be the season we encounter You. If maybe we've gotten used to You, or we've gotten cold in our lives and our hearts, would You rekindle within us a flame that You would be our first love? We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.